High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
How impactful will the J&J booster shots be on our health workers? Professor Linda Gail Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer at the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Howard. How are you?
I am a good, thank you. You know that people are still talking about ivermectin?
I know, and that is, it's disturbing because I think, you know, I'm aware that many, many studies have now been retracted because they were fraudulent, which is very disturbing for me as a, you know, medical scientist.
And the point is now, we have a vaccine. So why would people even think of taking ivermectin as a prophylaxis when we've actually got a pretty decent one, don't you think?
Well, we've actually got a few, which is terrific. But yes, you're absolutely right. The vaccine is triple, you know, what they're doing for us in terms of prophylaxis. And, you know, we know that they're safe. We know what is in them. and vaccines have saved for decades, you know. So, yeah, I'm also confused as to why people don't see the writing on the wall.
Absolutely. Let's just talk about the J&J booster, because there was a lot of concern, and certainly I had my worry about this, that we were leaving it, I thought, dangerously late for healthcare workers. I think we were fortunate in that the fourth wave didn't come at a time where they were a little bit more vulnerable. But now the opportunity has arisen for them to get the booster shot. We do know, according to a lot of reports, that some medical workers have already managed somehow to get a booster of Pfizer, but what is the efficacy of the J&J booster shot if someone didn't manage to get another one?
So, Howard, we've got data from a study called Ensemble 2, mm-hmm. which was done together with the first study that we based Sasanke 1 on, and so this is it. This was a two-shot J&J study for 30,000 people, and it showed, you know, an impact on death and severe disease and other mRNA vaccines. So it really does look efficacious to have those two doses, and it's safe, which I think is also important.
Absolutely. A lot of people have asked, certainly on the COVID podcasts that we do every week, a lot of people have asked about mixing and matching vaccines. Mm. What information is available, or have you seen around this?
So there's quite a bit of info about AstraZeneca with the mRNA vaccine, but for less data with the J&J and the mRNA vaccines. There is a couple of immunogenicity studies which show that definitely mRNA after Ad26, after DNA, shows nice unfortunately, we don't yet have efficacy or safety, really safety in big numbers. So the reason we're going with a homologous booster is just that's where we got most of the data, and our regulator was comfortable with going that route.
Right. So and those that have received their SMS, do you have any idea? I mean, I know it's not necessarily your field where they can go and get it, but do we understand how it's being rolled out?
Yes, so we are very aware of where the sites are.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
we're
fantastic.
Still running it as a study.
Right.
So there are upwards of 350 sites all around the country, each of them linked to a CRS, to a clinical research site.
Right.
But many, many more sites than we had in the first Sasanke. So we hope we won't see the queues we saw in the first go around. And people should have at least one site in their district where they can go comfortably, as well as private sites.
Right.
So
right.
I think many more options this time.
Is it a possibility now that it's a lot easier to do that the department can actually go to the hospitals, even ones that aren't considered to be traditional sites, and offer the vaccines to the healthcare workers there?
Not immediately, Howard, because we are still running this, you know, as a clinical trial as per SAHPRA's requirement.
Right, right.
But I think in time, you know, that may be the case. And certainly we are offering the vaccine in some private hospitals and some clinics CHCs, at the CTICC, you know, the usual sort of typical vaccine rollout site that people have become aware of.
Right. So, but people really do need to get out there and go and get the vaccine. Are we seeing, in terms of reaction to the vaccine, and I don't mean dangerous reaction, I don't mean anything that is to be concerned about, but are people, I know that when, with the Pfizer shot, sometimes people had a little bit worse a reaction to the second shot than to the first. Are we seeing anything like that with the J&J?
So obviously that's something we're going to watch here in our own scenario, but in Ensemble 2, in that study I was talking about, it looked yes. like when you look at the data that actually side effects were less after the second dose. So let's hope that holds out for our population as well, and we look forward to, you know, really being able to report back on this important data.
Absolutely. We do need to leave it there, but please go if you are eligible. Just go and get your booster. And that is Professor Linda Gale-Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer at the Desmond Tutu Foundation. Thank you for speaking to us.